homes, windows, siding, doors, and bath. Trust PJ.com. Allegheny County Police are investigating a fatal shooting last night in Wilkinsburg. Gunfire was reported around 8:45 in the 700 block of South Avenue. Officers say a man who was shot in the head was found in the intersection of South and Center Avenues. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Allegheny Township man is accused of offering to purchase a 6-year-old girl from her mother. Authorities say 43-year-old Theodora McGee referred to the child as his girlfriend in videos and messages and offered to purchase the girl from her mom for $5,000. According to a criminal complaint, McGee touched the girl inappropriately while watching her overnight last March. The man is charged with half a dozen felonies. A Pittsburgh man who killed his ex-girlfriend with her own gun in 2022 has been sentenced up to 60 years in jail. D'Angelo Ziegler pleaded guilty Tuesday to murdering Rachel Dowden after she walked from her job at a cell phone store to a bus stop in Bellevue. In addition to third-degree murder, Ziegler also pleaded guilty to burglary, robbery, assault, and making terroristic threats. A man was killed and a woman injured when a home in Lincoln Leamington, Belmar, caught fire overnight. Fire crews were called at 2 a.m. to the 600 block of Apple Street. They arrived to find all three floors engulfed in flames. They were told a man was trapped inside. Firefighters got him out through a window, but he died at the scene. The woman was taken to a hospital, condition unknown. Investigators are now looking into the cause of that fatal blaze. Cancer survival rates are improving, but experts warn future progress could be threatened by cuts to research funding. News Radio KDK's Tamara Rush has the details.
The American Cancer Society reports 7 in 10 cancer patients now live at least 5 years or longer after diagnosis. 50 years ago, that number was just 5 in 10, or about half of all patients. Researchers credit decades of treatment advances, especially for cancers like myeloma, liver, and lung cancer. But they warn those gains could be threatened if federal research funding is cut. Meanwhile, a new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds something as simple as walking may help save lives. Researchers say women with breast cancer and obesity face a higher risk of death, but adding just 15 minutes of daily walking significantly reduced that risk. Tamara Rush, News Radio KDKA.
Pittsburgh's ambitious Bakery Square expansion by Walnut Capital is moving ahead. Last week, Mayor Corey O'Connor signed his first executive order to streamline the permit process, something that developer Todd Reedbord had been hoping for. On the Big K Morning Show, Reedbord talked about how this will change the work he does at Walnut Capital.
I really think the issue was, how do you deal with the cards that you're dealt that are on the table, and how does the city become a partner with you in getting through the process and taking away roadblocks that aren't necessary and making things streamlined so you can get to the answer that you need, which is encouraging new development.
He says the mayor's push to speed up development involves finding ways around strict city rules, like costly traffic studies, leading to smaller, more market-driven phases focusing on AI-related growth. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 240 points, the Nasdaq down 344, the S&P 500 is down 67 points. KDK Sports, well, now the 19 years of Mike Tomlin's era as the Steelers head coach is over, the search is on for his replacement. Art Rooney II met with the media. You heard it right here on KDKA. We'll hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'm Paul Alexander on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio, KDKA.
I had throat and neck cancer. You know this by now. I was diagnosed. It was stage four. If I had that cancer 20 years ago, I'd be dead. And if I wasn't dead, they would have had to remove probably half of my jaw and half of my tongue. Fact. They saved my life at Hillman. They did. And they saved my career. My buddy Norm Candelor, same cancer, same thing. Saved his life at Hillman. New treatments, new optimism, new hope. However, comma, my sister just died from pancreatic. Tore me up, man. Jacked me up. Was given 6 months to live, lived 2.5 years. God bless her. My close friend, like my brother, Jeff Cohen, just died. Colon cancer. Jacked me up. And I was telling Cindy Patton, who I love from UPMC, I love her. She's an unbelievable woman. And I sent her a note this morning when I saw this amazing report. And I said, what happens is we have so many friends that die from cancer that we lose sight of the hope and the stories of hope where people actually live and thrive. My face lit up when I saw this data suggesting insane survival rates through the roof, and there is tremendous hope. And that's the message I want folks to hear today from the man himself, Dr. Heath Skinner, Chair of Radiation Oncology at Hillman. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
For you, my man, it's life and death stuff every day, isn't it? Every day.
Yeah.
Right?
But the hope... The hope message, that's what I agree with you wholeheartedly. That hope message, we got to bring it across.
You do. But guys like you and guys like me, because I lived it, I watched my survival. It was insane. The hope and enthusiasm and love for the process. Conversely, I watched, I mean, in person, my sister die from pancreatic. Somehow we have to manage all that, don't we, sir?
Yeah, we do. And I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I really am.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Guys like you either have to manage this or get the hell out, because you can't handle all of it sometimes if you can't manage it. Right, sir?
Well, that's right. And we're in a community, man. We reach out to one another. We take care of one another. Here, you know, staff, patients. That's one of the beauties of the cancer center, the Hillman Cancer Center that we're at. We take care of one another, not just the patients, but ourselves.
Oh, my man. Those nurses became family to me. I tell this story. I lost so much weight, they wanted to put in a feeding tube. So I would sneak stuff into my sweatpants, a telephone, a wallet, keys, chains. So I didn't go below the limit, and I would sneak past so I wouldn't have a feeding tube, and they busted me. They love saving lives there, as you do as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, sir. And you're not the only patient that's done that, at least in my clinic, too.
Hey, Doc, let's get to it, brother. Tell me these numbers.
All right.
Blowing my mind. Has me all jazzed.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Like, of course, there's always room to improve. Let's start out that way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always room to improve. But 70% of patients, when they get diagnosed with cancer, 70% of, on average, some are higher, some are lower, but 70% of patients, on average, are going to live to see 5 years and beyond. That's incredible.
Wow.
That's just an incredible thing to see.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of it, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot that it's due to. It's not just one thing. I mean, firstly, incredible research that's happening here in the Cancer Center and across the globe for cancer. You know, new therapies, new ways of delivering current therapies that we have, ways that make it better from a killing cancer perspective, ways that make it better from a side effect perspective, ways that we can find it earlier than we've ever been able to find it before. And then some even vaccines that can prevent certain types of cancer. And I know you're aware, yep, well aware of some of that.
HPV, brother.
That's right.
That's what I had. And we got 30, 40,000 people to get vaccinated. My videos reached 20 million people. It's fantastic.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And bless you for your work, my friend. Bless you for your work.
I lived it. So what's driving this tectonic shift in survival? What is it?
Oh, it's a lot of stuff. Like I said, like, it's not just one thing, you know, it's all the things. And, you know, people, me included, you want that silver bullet,
yep,
right?
You
want that thing that's just going to make cancer go away and not come back. But, It's not going to be that. It's going to be the incremental progress that we make on finding cancers earlier, on getting people screened, on getting people vaccinated. And the great research, like I said, that we're doing here at the Cancer Center and elsewhere, things like, just case in point, there's a whole new class of drug called immunotherapy
yes.
for solid tumors
yes.
that's revolutionized the treatment of them in the past 5 to 10 years. And that came from research. That came from simple studies to more complicated studies. And that's just one example. So a combination of improved research, improved ways of delivering the therapies that we have, improved screening, prevention, those are the things that are doing it, man. Those are the things that are doing it.
Hey, Doc, I read more than 2 million more people have survived cancer in the last 2 years than ever before. It's fascinating, isn't
yep.
it? Right?
7 in 10 patients. That's what 70% means. 7 in 10 wow. patients, you get a cancer diagnosis, 7 in 10. Like, that's, again, is there room to improve? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There's always room. Because we want it to be 10 in 10. Actually, we don't even want cancer to be there, right? We don't want cancer to be there. But
cancer sucks.
Come on, man. Does suck, man.
Sucks.
It does.
Hey,
it does.
So here's what I hear every day. This is, by the way, Dr. Heath Skinner, Chair of Radiation Oncology at Hillman. AI is going to cure cancer. Is that remotely accurate, sir?
So, firstly, curing cancer, everyone wants that, again, that silver bullet, right?
Yep.
You want that silver bullet.
Yep.
Think of it as cancer is not just one disease. It's so many different
right
diseases. It's hundreds of different diseases. Now, is AI going to help us if used the right way? I think so. AI is going to help us in a few different things. AI is going to help us try to find newer and better therapies.
Nice.
And that's already starting.
Hold on. Tell me how, Doc. Sorry to interrupt. How?
Oh, no worries. So one of the things that AI can do is take all of this data that we have about tumors, you know, you mince them, you dice them up, and you look at, you know, what do they have inside them, right? You plug all that into a system and you plug it in with how the patients did with the therapies that they were given. And there are some things that it can find that humans just can't find, because AI can look at just reams and reams and reams of data faster than I ever could. And that's one of the things that I do. I have a lab, and that's one of the things that we do is look at all
nice,
that reams and reams
nice.
Of data. And AI can do that in a, I want to say better way, a different way, faster way, a more efficient way than I can of people in my lab. But that's just one example. You know, they're trying to model, like, you know, basically try to do in they call it in silico, but basically in the computer. Say, okay, you got all these different compounds, you know, can they activate this pathway or inhibit this pathway? And AI can do all of these operations so much faster than we can.
Hey,
and
Doc.
That's just one thing, though.
Hey, Doc, funding has been jacked with big time. This irritates me. Has that slowed you down, sir?
You know what? We don't let it slow
okay.
us down. We don't let it slow us down. It's hard. I mean, I will not tell you it's not hard. I will. But we find alternate solutions. We find alternate paths, philanthropic paths, for instance. I mean, we have a bike race, the Rush to Crush.
Oh, yeah.
And now all of that money, 100% of it, goes to cancer research. So things like that. That's what we're going to rely on even more in the upcoming years if funding is cut and when funding is cut.
Hey,
but
Doc, I have found...
As you know, it's important work.
Hell yeah. We'll get back to funding. You watch. Ebb and flow, brother. Access has been a problem for some folks. How do we improve that, sir?
Well, so that's one of the things I'm most proud of. And one of the things why I'm here. Our cancer center has like 80 sites. And it's ensconced in communities, big communities, little communities. I mean, if you look at the data, and just I do radiation. If you look at the data for radiation, you can plot survival by how far people are from a place where they can get radiation. And let me tell you what.
So true.
Our radiation sites are in those communities. Our doctors are in those communities. And that means better care. And that's what I'm proud of. Well, how can we do better? I think we can use technology more. And we're trying to do that now. You know, can we bring the doctor to you even when the doctor can't be there? Let's say you got some really specialized docs. They can't be everywhere all at once. So we and others are doing telehealth. You know, you pipe them in.
Nice.
You know, and it's that's just one example. But the primary way that I've seen that works best is have that community relationship. And again, that's one of the things that we do. I think we do really well here at the Cancer Center.
I love it there, ma'am. It was life changing. The kind from the woman with the sandwiches and the soup to the dietitian lecturing me to the nurses who cried when I got better. It's a hell of a joint, man. You save lives.
I appreciate it.
It's an inspiration to be there. They couldn't care more.
And thank, And thank you. Thank you for that. Like, that just means so much to everybody to hear. It really does. It really does.
And Cindy.
It means a lot. And it means a lot. You see these paintings in the background.
Yep.
These are all my kids. And it means a lot for them. Their dad and their family can work and go to this place.
My daddy saves lives.
Thank you. I try.
No, man, it's cool. It's a hell of a journey, my man. And I appreciate everything you do. And the numbers are inspirational. Thanks for the hope today, Doc.
Really,
you're the best, man.
Hey, no, you are. Take care of yourself, man. Man. It's a real pleasure, and I appreciate the time.
Guy's a rock star. So the dynamic of having cancer is there's a terrifying fear to it. There's significant pain, insane. And you really truly think you're going to die and you feel that way. And then they save your life. And you're overwhelmed with joy and you cry and break down. These nurses are your best friend. And that happened to me. And then watching my sister die made me angry and depressed and full of shame that I lived. Seriously. I hate it. And I sent Cindy Patton a note from UPMC today. Said it's hard when someone you love so much dies from cancer because then you hate it. You hate cancer. You hate the whole process. But then we see these numbers, astounding survival rates, and it makes us have hope. One of my boys, Norm Candelor, who had the same cancer I had, and they saved his life at Hillman and tells a similar story. Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm good, Marty. How you doing? Happy New Year to you.
They saved your life at Hillman, did they not?
They absolutely saved my life because I had no idea I was even sick. How's that sound?
And describe how they treat you there. It's phenomenal. It's insane.
I have a whole new appreciation for people in the medical field, especially the nurses. In my entire lifetime, I never realized what they go through. And nobody's going into that place to say hello, how you doing. Everybody goes in there and has some kind of bad situation. And their composure and their compassion and the way they treated me was absolutely unbelievable.
It's like you're their family.
It's unbelievable. I never realized it until I sat there and watched how many people they dealt with and how often they had to do this. And I can't imagine going to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and working to 5 o'clock and have to be surrounded by all this negativity, and they just handle it so well. They're just phenomenal.
And Norm, as I said, and you know this because you're my boy, it gets dark, man. You sent me text and it said, in essence, my man, this sucks so bad. If I get cancer again, I'm just going to die. It was that painful, sir, wasn't it?
Not only at that level, and you're absolutely right, but also going every day and having the treatment, yeah. I never thought the anxiety, and quite honestly, there's so many days I literally cried,
yep,
not wanting to go. And yep, it wasn't for my wife. I'm going to be honest with you. Yep. If I was living by myself or single, I wouldn't have went. I'm going to tell you right now, I would not went. I could not force myself to go.
Hey, you had the same cancer I had. There's now a vaccine, so those lives can be saved. And the truth of the matter is that the game has changed. They've now saving 70% of cancer patients live 5 years or more, which is amazing, isn't it, Norm?
And you're absolutely right. And that 5 years is just a number they use for statistics. Once you make it past 5 years, you could, who knows how long it will go. It might be 10, 15, 20 years. Who knows?
So there is hope, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, there is hope. But I'm going to tell you something else. Back to these doctors and nurses. I didn't realize how intelligent and how great these folks really truly are. I hear so much negativity about the medical field and insurances and all this other crap. These people are phenomenal. I mean, they are just absolutely phenomenal. And I can't imagine them taking a young kid or a young adult that doesn't make it and how they go home and what they deal with. I just can't imagine it. They're just absolutely wired differently than I ever imagined in my lifetime.
That's what I say. I know one oncologist who had to quit because he saw so much death. I can understand that.
And I believe that. I mean, I walk into the room and some of these folks are older. Some of these folks in the room I walk into, they outlived everybody in their family. Yep. And there's nobody there for them.
Yep.
And I mean, it's sad. I'm going to tell you something. It's sad. I was fortunate. I could still walk in. I could still joke with people, still kid around. If I'd walk in, people have their heads down. Yep. Some people falling asleep. Yep. Some people on walkers. It's scary, man. It's scary. It's a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be.
But if you get that cancer 15 years ago, you're dead.
Yes, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, and the technology, I mean, my doctors went in, and they gave me a plan. Yep. I followed the plan, and quite honestly, it worked.
It did. It's hard to watch someone die like my sis. It's hard to get out from that darkness. But we have to have hope, don't we, sir?
Well, you have to have hope, and you have to trust these doctors. And you know what? And I know there's all kind of medicines out there, all kind of different plans and things. Things are all kind of miracle cures. But I'm going to tell you something. These guys know what they're doing. And that anybody that thinks differently, they know what they're doing.
By the way, how are you feeling?
I feel absolutely fantastic. I'm going to say something you're not going to believe, but I'm going to say it. I got more energy now than I ever did in my entire lifetime.
Wow.
I'm sleeping better. I'm concentrating better. I'm focused more on what I'm doing. Things matter to me now. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm not just going through the routines. I literally, in my own judgment, feel better now than I did before I knew I had the situation. And I'm just saying that to you the best way I can say it to you.
Did they take the feeding tube out?
No, I'm still on the feeding tube, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I have a dietitian that works with my doctors. I do 5 cartons of feeding tube per day.
Yeah.
They want, and then I'm now down to 3.
Yeah.
They want me to get to 1 so my diet's balanced. I'm doing a combination of feeding tube and eating. I am eating more on my own. I'm doing more spaghetti, more soups.
Nice.
I'm not real good with the hamburgers or steaks just yet.
In there.
And it's not because I can't swallow.
Yep.
My bite's off. I mean, my teeth are not lined up like they used to be. And I'm having a hard time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My man, love you, brother. Thank you.
I love you, too. Thank you, Marty.
It's my man. Nothing but hope. one of the local radio stations, I go through social in the mornings, and they had a post on this morning with some weather map, some stupid model, a model of what's supposed to come through here. And the radio station was literally promoting that we're going to have like 7 feet of snow tonight. Ignorant. Mary Hours joining me. Good afternoon.
Hey, are you getting my eye roll? Are you getting my eye roll on camera right now?
Well, that's...
I'm just rolling my eyes at that.
Well, Mary, that's BS.
That is so dumb.
And it's obnoxious and it's dangerous.
Yes.
Explain, please.
So dumb. And it's back to normal now. We were just looking. It's rain. Like, this happens with weather models. This is exactly why we do not forecast. Like, that was for next week. And I've already had people text me, hey, are we getting a big snowstorm? Had someone else come ask us. Like, that is just so irresponsible to put something out there. Obviously, people do it for clicks. And we were just saying, we wish sometimes that weather data was not public domain, because this is what happens. And then people look to us and say, are we getting this storm? Are we getting it? And it's like, no, we're not. Like, what, 80 inches? Or like, no, it's not going to happen. And it's back to normal. It just happens sometimes with weather models. They just pick up some really messed up data. It's all technology. And then it just gets all discombobulated and it puts it out there.
Wow.
And some people see it. And a lot of people saw it. But
and they freak out. Why wouldn't they freak out?
Yeah, but it'll be just fine. It'll be just fine, everyone. We will be fine and survive.
So hold on, Mary. What happens? They misinterpret the data or what? What happens? Amateur hour or what?
No, these are just weather models, satellites that pick up, I mean, extra ice, anything, moisture, and it just gets messed up.
Oh.
Simple.
So how does an amateur think?
There's a lot.
So how does an amateur think 84 inches of snow, and you say no way.
It's not somebody like sitting there. It's not somebody sitting there at a computer being like, I'm going to say 80 inches, or I'm going to say like 60 inches. So it's
some idiot.
It's just if you, yeah. It's back to normal today. That was a messed up 18Z model run yesterday that we were laughing about too in our group text.
So how do you discern between that and reality? How do you do it?
Like when people post that stuff,
how do you separate truth from fact from fiction? Yes.
Oh, because I know I'm right, Marty.
Right on. No, because you're an expert. It's your background, right?
Yeah, because these are things that we've learned. Like, you don't forecast snowstorms out that far. You know, we don't even like a 10-day forecast.
Nice.
You know, because when you're doing so many days in advance, it changes. Like 3 days, I'd say, are like perfect, spot on. But even the snow that we're seeing tomorrow, like the National Weather Service just dropped winter weather advisories a little bit further south. And that's something that we were looking at here earlier. And I mentioned at noon, I'm like, I think they should be dropping this winter weather advisory a little bit further to the south.
Oh.
It wasn't at noon, but lo and behold, I just looked and they dropped it further south for areas into Mercer County. And it's just something that you just have to fine tune when it gets closer. And my one thing I always say and learned in school is nothing in weather is absolute.
So what are we going to get tomorrow?
So I think there's going to be some school delays tomorrow because we're getting, I mean, this front's moving through. And I mean, we're going to be in the upper 30s towards midnight, but then quickly drop to the 20s and then the teens. So it's going to be a flash freeze for one. Areas north, lake effect snow warnings already, winter weather advisory, Laurel Highlands and Ridges. Pittsburgh could get probably 2 inches. Places into like Beaver, Butler, I would say 2 to 3 inches around that. But like those high elevations under the winter weather advisory could pick up that 4 to 6 inches. So
nice.
Great for Seven Springs.
Nice.
Like Newcastle could probably get about 5 inches. So it's definitely less south, like Washington, maybe a half of an inch to an inch. But I think Pittsburgh could pick up a good couple of inches, but still could cause, it's going to be icy roads. That's the biggest thing with the flash freeze and how cold it's going to get and how quickly it's going to turn.
So what scares me are handrails, steps, driveways, all that could be ice, right?
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely.
And then does it stick around or what?
Yeah, we're not getting out. We're not really getting above the freezing mark until maybe Friday, but that's pushing it. I mean, tomorrow falling temperatures all day. Friday morning, it's going to be cold in the teens. We get to those low to mid-30s Friday, Saturday mid-30s, but then it's staying cold. I mean, we're talking highs in the 20s all next week and lows into the teens, possibly even single digits. So we're kind of in this, going to be in a little bit of a deep freeze.
I don't mind it. I really don't.
It's January. Yeah, it's Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Before I go, I was watching your social all weekend. Amazing. Amazing performance. Was that Friday night?
That was Saturday night.
That was so cool, man.
Thank you. It was a great turnout.
Tell these folks what they missed, because it was astounding.
You missed an amazing show. No. So I sang at the City Winery and did a half hour show, but I think total we sang about 11 songs.
Whoa.
Because we did a couple. I did a couple songs with the band. The Bobby Thompson, he does the acoustic for me. So I sing everything acoustic. I do cover songs, everything, like all different ranges from Jolene to the new Olivia Dean song, Need. So a whole bunch of different songs, and it was honestly, it was so much fun, and it was one of my best performances I think I've done.
It's amazing.
For an opening.
Hey, have you thought about, or have you recorded, or do you write your own stuff?
I've thought about it,
for sure.
I've thought about it. I've thought about writing a song and, doing all that, but just something I haven't got around to yet.
Yeah, you're kind of busy.
But everyone tells me I should.
And I saw a clip with your daughter stomping out on video with attitude. That was funny. It was hilarious.
Those were the boots that I wore that night, and they were sitting in my living room. So she puts them on, and she's walking around.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And I took a video of her, and I did not expect her to be like, I'm Mary Hours, and I literally know the news. I was like,
love it.
Viviana.
Love it. Own it.
She's funny.
These are the moments in life that are magic, that make us love life and kids so damn much. Amazing moments.
She's the best. Yes.
All right. Fantastic, Mary. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Marty.
105 inches of snow tomorrow, folks. Mary Hours, the best. Right back. Hell of a day, man. Hell of a day. My man, one of my favorite people. Bartz. What's up, brother?
What was that? What, you know, that that thing you had with Mary Hours. What And she gave, so we're going to get 2 to 3 inches, I guess she said. But idiots. What was they saying? Somebody well, said we were going to get just, 8 inches or something?
No, no, no. 84.
And they were playing, what?
And they put this weather map on a local radio station, and everyone in the marketplace thought we were getting 84
terrible.
Inches.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
So,
oh.
I want to talk to you about this because you know them so well. Art Rooney was on for 20 minutes, never really speaks out. My man is smooth.
He's
all class.
Oh, he's super bright. Hey, he's stoic, but he's very classy. I listened to it, and I listened to your coverage too.
He said a couple of things.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I know you know this. He said we all knew we were getting toward the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You had that vibe.
Yeah, totally. But I thought I wondered what I wanted to hear today more than anything. Did Art nudge him, which I didn't think he did,
he didn't
or
say
would,
that, right?
And
I
he said
thing.
He was as surprised.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't shocked or anything, but he did not expect that in that meeting yesterday. I think Mike Tomlin just said, you know what, 19 years, that's ba boom, ba boom, ba boom.
I wish I was him right now.
Hey,
50 mil in the bank.
I know, and you know, and he loved his time here.
Come on, bro.
Loved his time here. If you read the tea leaves, you know, your boy Art Rooney, you know what he said today? He's like, will I get another Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, or Mike Tomlin?
Right on.
I don't know.
Right.
And then, you know what's blowing up on Facebook? That young coach from Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah. He's smooth.
What's his name? Freeman?
Yeah,
is that his
smooth
name?
Smooth as hell.
Smooth as
charming.
Hell. Smooth. I saw him on the today.
Eight
oh,
kids.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, what?
Eight.
He has eight kids?
Oh, yeah. Cool guy. I love him.
Marty, this guy probably has the inside track, you know? I mean, last night everyone's calling me and saying, oh my God, what about your boy McCarthy? And I'm like, you're younger than I am. Me too.
Cool guy.
And you know the family. You've met them over the years.
Cignetti, they said too.
Yeah,
but he's too old.
Yeah, this Notre Dame. Mm.
I hope so.
I wonder. Me too. Me too.
We'll see. But the other thing.
Huh.
Because a lot of people don't like Tomlin, think he's an a-hole.
He's a nice man.
So I have a bunch of friends that work for the Steelers.
Yeah,
all
me too.
All of them mm-hmm. texted me and said he was wonderful to them.
Totally. And you know, my friend who I grew up with, Teresa, who works for the Steelers for many, many years, she posted the pictures of her and Tomlin, Teresa Varley.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, you know what? She put the best. And if you disagree, just defriend me right now. And if you were, and I know you were over the years with going to stuff, Mike Tomlin and his wife Kia are really nice people.
They're cool.
And she has a great business. But, you know, he's a really nice man.
I don't know.
Very nice.
Never met him.
And he's a very, very, very congenial, nice man. No doubt.
And a badass.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see what he's going to do. I think TV. What do you think?
I say he's on Fox. Within the next week or so, or NBC for the Super Bowl.
Agreed. I think he's done with coaching because you know what, the way his Tomlinisms, everything.
Who's up?
He's amazing.
Coach. Wait, he took a year off.
Who?
And then Denver's coach.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now he's at Denver, and they're about to head to the championship game.
Hey, he can always go back to football if he wants. He'll get a huge contract,
$20 million plus.
Please, easy,
easy,
easy. And you sit in there. Bill Cowher loves that. You know.
Plus. My brother, this team was stale.
They were. And it
fresh
just seemed
fresh.
I know. And look, come on. We need to do the whole rebuilding and the new quarterback,
cool.
The whole ball of wax. I get it. I get it. But Rooney's don't fire coaches, and I wonder
good
if it was
them.
Killing me thinking last night, did Art nudge him? And he didn't. He didn't.
Mm-mm. He said that. He said he was just as surprised.
I know. Yeah, I know.
In fact, he said
that didn't surprise you, did it? They don't fire coaches, Marty. You know that.
I don't know the inside there. But he said that, and I quoted this. He said, I was ready to give him another year. Take another shot.
Oh, he was. He was going to take another shot. Yeah, they just – that's why we have 6 Super Bowls. That's why we are a revered franchise.
I love them.
Me too. Me too. No doubt.
I worship the whole thing.
Me too.
Like some guy called and said, no one cares. That's bull crap.
Oh, they're lying.
Come on,
they're
lying.
So full of it.
Come
it's
on,
unbelievable.
Man. It's part of the fabric of this town.
I know. Come off it.
You can tell stories from when you're 4 years old till today about the Steelers.
I know.
Right?
I know. No doubt about it. Yeah.
When
I
your
agree.
Brothers were kicking your ass.
Oh, wait. In the 70s?
You're the only non-athlete whip in the family.
I know.
And your brothers
were
jocks.
I broke my hand as a defensive end, and I was the happiest
you
kid in the world, and I never had to
your
play again.
Your brothers were badasses.
Hey, listen.
Bobby and David.
Hey, listen.
My boys.
The Steelers win 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. In the 70s, how much fun did we have? And I tell young people that, and they're like, what? You know? Oh, the Steelers, boom, six Super Bowls. Come on,
your brothers.
That's
were
why
drops.
I don't. That's why I don't want the Patriots to win this year.
You were a bum.
I was not a bum.
Uncoordinated.
I was a little gay boy. It was the gay kids were forced to play back in the day,
my
and
man.
I couldn't do it. Come on,
man. I go so far back with your brothers.
I wanted to go into forensics, and they said, "Quit being a sissy. You're not doing it." That's
David,
so
Michael,
sad.
Oh my man, your brothers. Tell stories.
Oh, I know.
My Believe, man, you're the
I know
best.
You can't. You are my man,
Love
Marty.
Having you.
Don't
He's
worry.
Up next.
I'm in for Colin.
Peace.